Abby Johnson made national news after quitting her job in 2009. And by itself, that doesn't sound too extraordinary because people quit their jobs all the time, so no big deal. But she was the youngest director of a Planned Parenthood clinic, had just won Employee of the Year, and was one of the highest grossing directors in terms of revenue around the nation. She had risen to the heights of everything she wanted to accomplish quickly. However, all of that changed when one fateful afternoon, she was called from her office to assist in an actual abortion procedure by ultrasound for the first time. And what she saw that day would change her life and her perspective forever. Abby Johnson's life and powerful story of conversion is now made into a movie now playing in theaters called Unplanned. And while the movie does address abortion and Planned Parenthood, and the Motion Picture Association of America gave it an R rating because there are two scenes of abortion, one a chemical abortion and one through the ultrasound, I find it ironic that a 15-year-old girl in this country has to get permission from her parents to see this movie about abortion, yet does not need to have permission to have one by law. But if, as I said, this movie is not just merely about abortion or Planned Parenthood, and if we were to point to those only two things to reduce the entire movie to that, we would miss the whole point. Rather, it's a beautiful story about a very difficult look into the journey of a soul who is transformed when confronted with the truth, mercy, and love of God. And in one of the most powerful scenes, Abby returns home to her family shortly after her quitting her job at Planned Parenthood, and she immediately slumps to the floor as her husband, Doug, sits next to her. And Abby weeps in his arms, saying, "I have been complicit in over 22,000 abortions. That is the weight of my guilt. How do I even comprehend that?" Doug wisely responds, "You can't, baby. No one can. All you can do is say that you're sorry and beg forgiveness." A bit later, he holds her face in his hands as he stares at her and says, "Abby, look at me. I love you, and so does God. He'll forgive you if you ask." And Abby just shakes her head and says, "I can't believe that. How, after what I've done, how can he?" Doug responds with these words, "Because he's God. Because he's God." When confronted with the weight of sin, especially our own, the enemy often sneaks the lie into our hearts that says, "You will never be forgiven. Your sin is too big for God to forgive. You will never be able to return to the Father's house, so there's no point in even trying." You can hear these things expressed in Abby's actions and thoughts as she sits on the floor in the midst of all her guilt, not unlike the prodigal son who wallows in the physical filth, mud, and dirt of the swine. There is no doubt that many of these lies have also sunk into the hearts of the tax collectors, sinners, and outcasts, the very same listeners of today's parable. And that's why the gospel says that these very same people were drawn to listen to Jesus because he presents something so extraordinary that attacks the core of these very lies. We often forget that while the weight of even one individual sin is too heavy for us to bear, there is a God who is bigger than all of that. There is a Father who takes away the burden away from us when we confess before him and reminds us of who we truly are. In today's parable, we can almost hear the desperation in the prodigal son's voice as he comes before his father, confessing and admitting his guilt. As he says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." This same son had asked his father for his inheritance, which is equivalent to saying, "You are dead to me," since an inheritance is usually given out when the owner dies. Yet he is met with a different reaction from his father. What does the father do? He doesn't turn him away. He doesn't wait for his son to tell him all the ways he's going to make up for his actions. Instead, he asks that the finest robe be put upon him, signifying royalty. He asks that a ring be put on his finger, signifying that he belongs to a family, since at that time the family insignia was on the ring. And then he asks that sandals be placed on his feet. Because slaves were the ones who often didn't wear shoes, and it was a sign of restricted freedom that they could not walk wherever they wanted. But here the father places the sandals on the feet of his wayward son to show him that his freedom has been restored, and that what he thought of as freedom before, a life of dissipation and sin, actually led to a life of restriction and slavery to his passions. Here in his father's house has the son found true freedom. That was what was so captivating about Jesus' message and story today, especially to the tax collectors, sinners, and outcasts, because these people realized that somehow throughout their course of their life, they had forgotten their identity. They forgot that they were royalty. They forgot that they belonged to a family, and they forgot that they were free. And we all do the same things as well. There's a song by Matthew West called "Hello, My Name Is." And I know Father Clement loves to sing during the during his homilies, and I'm not going to try to attempt that because he has a way better voice, and I don't want you guys all rushing out of the pew. But the lyrics go, right? "Hello, my name is child of the one true King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. Amazing grace is the song I sing. I am no longer defined by all the wreckage behind. The one who makes all things new has proven it's true. What love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called his children. I am a child of the one true King." Oftentimes we name ourselves by our sins, forgetting our true name is that of a beloved son or daughter of our heavenly King. And if our Father is our heavenly Father, which he is, we are not often called the names we call ourselves, and perhaps the many names that run through the mind of the prodigal son as well. We are royalty, we are part of his family, and we are destined for his kingdom. During this opening weekend of the movie Unplanned, there was a special screening in which a group of moviegoers who watched the movie got to meet and talk with the real Abby Johnson afterwards. An 11-year-old girl who had watched the movie asked Abby through tears in her eyes, "How can you get past what you've done?" Apparently, Abby's sins seemed too great for the little girl's mind to comprehend. But Abby responded, "Satan lives in our secrets. What we don't confess, he owns." Today, live no longer in secret. Return to the Father's house. Bring our sins to the light of the Father's love, and know that every soul, including us, no matter how far we have wandered, no matter what we have done, is redeemable. When we turn to the Father with our sins, we are forgiven. We are welcome back. We are part of his family. And it is here in the Father's embrace where we are reminded of our true identity that cannot be erased. That we are indeed beloved sons and daughters of the one true King.